That's the next Ghibli movie, The Cat Printer. It's all set in an office.
The Sunday Skypers.
I figured that you might as well just look over the PDF and make a couple of line bulls. Like, just follow the instructions. It's not super complicated. And we'll try to put you in some interesting situations, see why this doesn't work for people.
Well, the guy himself who came up with it said it was based on his own personal campaign. And he pretty much said, you know, it may not work. I have no idea what to name my character. Oh, I know. I don't have to choose that. It's chosen for me. What's my badge name? I'll just close my eyes and point. So I'm Vestine Claremont. Any idea? Do you have an idea where we're starting from?
Probably going to throw you in feet first into the deepest end. So, like,
oh no, I'm talking one of the areas: Arcos, Arcoros, Severos, Aruvia, Sclovian.
Is there any difference?
The difference is which, like, line you're going to be working, and I'm probably going to go with the big red line in the middle if you look at the map, which is the Severus coast.
Try and figure out where my character would be from, because you get bennies from being from something.
I thought we wouldn't get super into that. Like, if we want to, we can mine Harper's other game, Blades in the Dark, which uses the same setting. But I figured, like, just pick some descriptions that you think is cool. Like, if you want to be a nimble, swift person, like, go with the Neruvian, and let's not think too deeply about it.
I'll be the person who's actually not from any of the little islands we're going to. How's that? I'm from Arcoros.
Seat of the Empire, probably.
Yeah, she's shrewd, because I've been connected too many times.
I don't know how deeply into the special features we'll get, like if you're going to spend stash or think about favors. I'm going to look at favors now, but we'll see. Oh, okay, so you just get extra favors that you can spend during downtime. Okay, cool.
It looks like one of it has to be the spider, because that's the person who captures, looks like, the spirits.
You're not going to be the only, like, line bulls
in
this.
Oh, good.
So pick something you think is cool.
Well, since I'm picking the person, I've picked the person who's plus one finesse, insight, and steel. I think I'll be the owl, which means I have four canisters of lightning oil. Not sure what it does, but...
Oh, it just powers everything.
It's batteries. Okay, I have four extra batteries.
It's like the whale oil from Dishonored, right? They hook it up to stuff and it sort of burns out. So you're line bull apprentices, so you're working toward completing your apprenticeship, and once you do that, you get a little, like, you get tougher. You get a greater chance of dealing with the horrible things you'll be dealing with.
Well, we also get the standard Apocalypse World moves. Maybe they actually are built into the sheet already, looks like.
So we got an owl from Akaros, who's what, connected, shrewd, noble, sharp?
She is sharp and shrewd.
All right. John, are you sitting back from the mic?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm leaning over to write on my sheet.
So, what's your badge name?
Claremont.
And your personal name was?
Vestine, V-E-S-T-I-N-E.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, last one.
I just took my pencil and pointed.
That works. That works.
And I'm 0 force and plus 1 everything else.
Actually, that doesn't compute, I think. Plus 2.
Because I'm sharp. I started out 0, 1, 0, 1, then I chose sharp, so I get my insight to plus 1, so I'm...
Excellent. And Urk.
An anchor, I think.
What did they do? Heavy encounter suit. Oh, okay. You got the, you drew the anchor lottery.
Yeah, I think he's just going to be a big, dumb, strong guy.
Awesome.
So you're the equivalent of catching him in the streams and holding him while we get the trap set.
Ghost Wrestler!
Got a name for the bruiser?
I'm not sure which goes first, but either Booker Bregan or Bregan Booker, whichever is supposed to go first.
You got a personal name and the badge name. The badge name is just like something you take as you become a line bull. It's not actually your own name. It's just so that would be Booker, I guess. I think people just address you by your line bull name unless they're a personal individual, unless they know you personally. Maybe if you're really good friends with other line bulls, they'll use your personal name. It was Brogan, was it?
Bregan.
Bregan.
Booker is your badge name. Okay. We call you BB.
No, I don't think I like you enough. I don't give you my personal name.
If you've picked your additional equipment, which you have, you've chosen your roles, you should be pretty much good to go.
We get all the gear, correct?
Yeah, you get all the gear plus your special role gear.
Which is, in my case, the spirit goggles and spirit lightning oil canisters.
Right. If I remember correctly, you can use your goggles to study the ghost. And you can secure the ghost's attention and draw it into contact with you. Awesome. Booker's not going to be crazy at all. It's nothing a bit of hard liquor can't cure. All right, so basically, like your line balls, you walk the length of these metallic train cars and make sure that ghosts don't get stuck in the electro field that the train generates. Basically, you have cities with great big quote-unquote lightning shields that keep spirits out, but as soon as you go out of the cities, it's just this horrible ink-black deathland stuff. There's been a big, huge cataclysm like ages ago, so the world is broken, but people still live, so your job is to keep them safe. Probably you didn't have any other prospects, so, you know, this was the job you could get. We're going to start out in Elysia, which is in the bottom left corner of Acheros, which is the biggest continent, sort of the main continent, you might say. And you're going over to Severin. So you've stopped in Elysia to sort of resupply. You've had your little, off-screen free time. The journey over was, your first real ride, and it was uneventful, so nothing really interesting happened. So far, so good, right? I think you might think of Elysia as this kind of, misty, dark, cobblestone, Sherlock Holmesy, port town. Pretty big. A lot of industry. There's a big potted meat industry, obviously, since we're inspired by Dishonored. There's a good deal of that. Not usually a place where you get tons and tons of aristocracy. Nevertheless, you're walking the tops of the cars and just, checking that everything is in order. They're adding a bunch of train cars to your train. And one of them is this really fancy, elaborate, it only really has this frame of metal. The rest is polished, oiled wood, really expensive wood. It has gold gilt seals, crests all over it. It has these silver fittings with their own lightning oil powered lanterns. You're mostly an industrial train with cargo. So this is contrast. It comes with its own little retinue of these blue-coated, liveried, sort of, they're servants, obviously, but they're the kind of servants who used to be soldiers or constables or things like that. They look really proper, but if you look them in the face, it's okay, this guy's seen plenty of action down an alley somewhere. So they're guarding that individual train car, and they hook it up last, which is a bit odd. As well, usually when you have fancy stuff, you hook it up early or in the middle of somewhere, I guess. Anyway, your apprentices, right? So your handler or if you can call him that, let me pick a name.
Well, he's the bull.
Yeah, he's the big bull. What the hell? Let's just go with Haig. So Haig is an asshole. He's originally from Skoblen. He's a bit of a redhead. He has these big rosy cheeks. Total drunkard. He was asleep the entire road, the entire way from Severin to Elysia. He was just passed out drunk in your little neck of the wherever the line bulls get together when they're not walking the roofs. So you didn't really have any guidance, and he's sort of just now coming out of this swoon, and he's looking like he's just horribly hungover, red-eyed, drool in the corner of his mouth, and he comes over with this breathing mask under his arm. Climbs up on top of the train, right? Mm-hmm. And he nods to the last train car and looks you over and oh, that's new.
Yeah, they just hooked it up.
How about, would anyone like to use Insight? That sounds cool. Something cool.
Sure.
Let's see if you can figure out something about this train car.
2d6 plus 1. 13.
Ooh, nice.
So I get to ask,
Hold three. So you can ask them at any time. You can ask all of them now, or you can spend them as the scene progresses, right?
Well, I'll go for the very obvious one. What's really going on here?
By the looks of it, probably you have some nobleman who's going somewhere on to Severus, right, on some like purpose, on some errand. Either they're not important enough to get passage on a proper train, or they want to keep a low profile, but they're too foppish to like give up all their comforts. So they're probably hooked up here because that would be your working theory, right? That, yeah, somebody doesn't want to take the main train for some reason.
And I don't think I'll hold on the other two. I'll pick them as needed. That just made a little check mark on that.
Now, mind you, this is about this situation and this train car.
I should probably ask them. Okay.
If you want to progress the scene a little, like you could walk over to them and like say hello if you want to.
I'll put my goggles up and walk on over and look around and talk to one of the blue coated guys who's probably on top, right? Basically, they have their own folks on top.
They don't have line bulls, but they have security, right? So there's probably somebody notices that you're approaching, so they climb up the side ladder up top, stand there, stop, and like raise a palm in your direction, that's far enough.
I was just checking to make sure everything's okay back here. I mean, obviously, this is an important person.
Yeah, everything's fine.
If you need a hand with anything, you know, I tap my goggles. Just let us know, and we'll come a running.
There's no, in particular, like betrayal of emotion or anything like that in his face. He just like looks at you and like, yeah, I trust you'll do your job, Bull.
So that's my next question then. What are they really feeling? What do they want?
They want you to not pry. That's pretty obvious.
Secret mission of some sort.
Not stick your nose into whatever noble's business visits.
I guess I'm close enough to get a good look at it. So my third question is, what's the best way to actually get in there if I had to?
That's interesting. Well, given that it is guarded, I think the best way would be to somehow befriend or get one of these dudes drunk so they're not at their post or they're willing to let you in.
So that works out. All right.
Throw them away. That's the best way in. Meanwhile, while Claremont does her best to like be amicable with the watchmen or whatever they are, the guards, Haig he just grunts like some pansy ass. He extends this like little like pocket.
A flask.
Yeah, pocket flask with some like really strong Skovlin whiskey. Hands it over to Egon's Booker.
Take a drink. Thanks.
You're probably going to need it. It's I hear we're going all the way to Irondale. And that is a bad place. That's a bad place. I lost a lot of good folks there on the way there anyway. You tell Claremont, you two have the back of the train. I'm going to take the front. And by that, you pretty much know that he's going to walk once and then he's going to crawl down into like his hidey hole and keep drinking.
He won't be bothering us.
Indeed. Right. He's no help. He's a terrible, terrible like journeyman or master, whatever his rank is. The train people do their last like checkups of the train. Everything goes according to plan. There's the whistle. There's the whole like cha-chung, cha-chunk deal with the train cars being fired up and all the like wheel locks being released and you're loaded up on lightning oil and all that stuff. So the train starts to move out through the industrial like portions. Of Elysia and out on the giant freaking bridge that is that connects Akros and Severus over this just completely black ocean. A thing to keep in mind, there's no real sun. There maybe is a sun, but it's really weak and it's always kind of perpetually overcast and like the best you get is like an overcast twilight. That's the amount of natural light you get. Every other light is like, it's just black and horrible and overcast and no help at all.
Lovely.
Yes.
I guess this is a major trestle. Are there actually sailing ships or is everything done by train?
Between the islands, it's usual to do the train thing, at least in this game. There are these big, like, probably tin or like metal ships that hunt leviathans, which is where you get the oil, the lightning oil. refined from them. So the train just starts out on this long, long stretch. It's going to take plenty of time to, like, probably take all night to get across. There's this really thick, heavy fog that rolls in and sort of mingles with the night dimness. Maybe through the fog, if you stare down long enough, you might find like a thin spot in the fog where you can actually see the ocean, which is just this ink black carpet or sheet, I should say, rather. This shiny ink black sheet. And if you stare long enough, you might begin to think that you can see stars sunken into this like deep black ink. Like you can see the train a bit ahead and a bit behind, but then everything sort of vanishes in this like sea fog. And the train picks up speed. You're whooshing past markers and stuff. And, you do the whole walking back and forth and checking every post you're supposed to check. There's the clickety-clack of your magnetic boots, lightning oil-powered boots. And the whirring of your breathing masks. And the light mask, of course, yes.
So how many others are on here with us besides Haig?
Oh, there's probably, let's see, it's probably Scapa and Danfield. They are both Akarosi as well. Oh, I forgot to ask, if it matters, like, where's our Booker from?
Severoth.
Oh, cool. How convenient and use and good, right? You're from the two places we're going between. Awesome. Yeah. You and Haig are the kind of the odd men out, and you have the three Akarosi types. So they are. Go ahead.
Are they filling in the other two roles, or?
Yeah. So one's a spider, and the other's a rook, and they have their sort of sections of the train. But if something happens, they're going to run over to help or clack over, whatever works. So you're not too far into the journey before you see these like crackling lightning clouds further ahead. There's this sort of crimson cloud shepherding these like lightning flashes out over toward like you can see it's almost like an ocean fog wind that comes in with this like weird unearthly weather, which is just this lightning flashes in a reddish fog.
I know it's not a ghost, but yeah, I got my goggles on, and I'm just going to take a look at this with the spirit goggles.
Why not? Yeah. Go ahead. Sounds like you're using insight.
But I don't get 9, so I'll ask the one question then. What's really going on?
Yeah, every once in a while you get this weird weather as a result of disruptive, like broken magics that destroy the world. This is the type of like a weird, unearthly, naturally electric thing or occurrence that actually draws ghosts to it naturally. Yeah. It's kind of like this weather, which is a ghost magnet. So every, like, probably ghosts of the drowned or ghosts of recently deceased, maybe on the train even, or just ghosts who are lost in the fog, they're going to be drawn to this thing, and you're going to have a lot to do very soon. What did you roll, by the way?
A 9.
Right, so you got what? You got
just a 1.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So as I meet the other ones, I'll relay. Yeah,
be on the lookout. Since you asked and you used your spirit goggles, you can see that there are ghosts trapped in this weather, this like storm.
Yeah, I'll as I run into each of the people, I'll let them know what's coming up. And when I run into a Booker. We got that store over there. It's got several ghosts in it, so be on the lookout.
It's going to hit the middle of the train probably at first and then mingle back toward.
And it sounds like I'm at the tail end from the sounds of it.
Oh, yeah, you're both at the ass end of the train.
Like Craig and what's your name?
Scapa and Danfield. They're both dudes. They're both Akarosi. Yeah. Scapa has a slightly fancier like breathing mask.
So I take it they're not apprentices then.
They are apprentices, but it seems that Scapa maybe, I don't know, has connections or something.
He's a noble, yeah.
He doesn't like to talk about that, so. You know, just because it's cool, I'm going to say you have some kind of really primitive radios in the masks. If you look at the pictures, they have these, like, ear, almost like headphones on. So let's say that there's this, like, just this crackling, like, yeah, whatever radio language it would use, like, not Roger. That's way too modern. But acknowledged. That's what Scapa says. I got eyes on it. And Dan feels like, you don't need spirit goggles to see this shit. Did I say she?
So they're both dudes.
Yeah. Maybe I accidentally said she for Danfield. Anyway, so Danfield's like, dude, I don't know. Apparently I'm confused. Here we go. So, yeah, Scapa's like...
Another secret. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Danfield never takes their gear off. So Scapa's like, looks like it's going to hit the middle and back of the train. Should we mosey on over right away or what?
Sure. No, okay.
One says no, the other says sure.
Okay, yeah. Booker, yeah, you're anchor, Booker. If anything comes, you'll be the one grabbing him anyway, so yeah.
Dan feels like, should anyone get Haig?
Good luck.
Cool. So they begin to move over to your side of the train. This like crazy light of red, crimson, deep crimson lightning storm just rolls over the train, and you can just see all these electroplasmic figures, kind of like trying to think of a good scene in Ghostbusters where they're like...
Actually, I'm thinking more of the scene from of all the spectral figures in Poltergeist.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Only you add like some details and a lot of lightning, right? They're just crackling and sort of luminescent in the middle of this mist. And they're sort of wrapped up in the lightning flashes.
Yep, thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening thing.
So I'm going to say, let's try the steel thing, shall we? So when you steel yourself against injury, duress, or supernatural horrors, choose an action below that you hope you don't do and roll plus steel. Because this is bad. Like you've seen ghosts before, probably, but not this like
this many.
Yeah, all in one place.
Okay, so I'm gonna pick the first one: freeze up and leave myself wide open.
All right,
I'll pick rage.
Excellent. These are some really good choices. I gotta say, these are excellent.
And I rolled 7-9, so I don't do the one I picked. A GM chooses.
Yeah, so did I.
Same for you.
Do we do each other's?
You know, that would be fun, right? So maybe like the anchor, you're like moving up to intercept some of these spirits that are coming way too close to the train cars, and just you see this trio of women who appear to be like drowning victims or something, and they're just swirling toward you with these, like, you know, the first scene in Ghostbusters when the librarian goes all crazy on whatever his face is, right? Kind of like that, except they're sort of swirling at you, and there's like this ghostly sense of seaweed and bloated flesh and dead eyeballs in among the lightning flashes, and you just freeze up. You can tell me how you freeze up, if you care.
Not a lot of description there, because freezing up, he's just not moving.
Fair enough.
Holding his hook there and just standing there like a suit of armor.
I kind of imagine this like having countersuit, kind of like an old-timey, you know, diving rig. With the whole, you know, the not the bubble helmet, but the sort of metal helmet with the...
Oh, the one with the little... That has, like, bug eyes, basically, all the little round discs to look through.
Bug eyes sound cool. They sound cool. So, yeah,
you're entirely out of brass.
Yes. So you just freeze right there, and they're going to come up to you and do some horrible things to you. Meanwhile, let's see, for Claremont, you rage, lose control, do unintended harm. Right, so I guess you see this... And instead of keeping your cool, you're like, oh, shit, and he's not doing anything. So you
fire up my lightning hook and say, Booker! And start swinging, and I probably hit Booker.
you're like lightning hook just flashes in among the ghost trio and misses all of them narrowly. And then you sort of hit Booker in the side of the helmet. Let's see, what would that be? Let's call it one harm.
Sorry.
And then my armor reduces that to zero.
Oh, does it? Cool. Let's make it two harm so you have one harm.
Should get your mouth shut. No.
I'm kind of doing this by the seat of my pants. I'm not entirely sure how much damage I'm supposed to let you deal, unless it's somewhere here.
It's actually on harm and trauma.
Oh, here we go. Awesome. Oh, two. Vicious beating, lightning hook, jolt. That's right. Okay.
To its crit mount.
So two. So one. Your armor takes care of one.
And I use up another charge of lightning oil.
It's good that you have a spare. So you can hear, like, in the background, like, Claremont anyway, you can hear the sort of radio shouts from Scapa and Danfield. Meanwhile, Booker, you're like, your head's ringing. There's this like searing sensation in the side of your head, and just a smoking burnt brass hole in the side of your helmet. By the way, I should probably give you trauma. Let's see. Manifestation attacked by ghost. Take two. I'm going to combine that with the lightning hook jolt. So I'm not going to give you extra trauma for getting shot in the side of the head.
So basically one trauma because he's encountered a ghost?
It's attack. So it's two. Manifestation attacked by ghost.
And I'm cold, so reduce that to one.
Awesome. You were the right person for the job of being an anchor. Am I reading this correctly? Do you get 12 harm and trauma? Or is this just a clock, right? It's just a clock. So if you take two, you fill in pie pieces, same as Apocalypse World. Okay, never mind my hemming and hawing. So one is at 3 o'clock for both for you then. And I'm going to give John one, since it's
trauma.
It's sort of indirect. Like you see all these ghosts and suddenly like everything is heightened. Think of it as a like high pressure stress. While you're sort of disorganized, And your head's kind of ringing from the lightning hook hit. Why don't we have, since Booker is like kind of the natural, hey, ghosts, come get me. How about we have Booker do a leading the bulls against a ghost roll?
Do I use any of my augments?
Let's see. Just for the engagement, I don't think so. You have not completed your apprenticeship or journeymanship, and you're not a master line bull. You have support. No, not another gang. No, that's not. That's true. But you have a bull in every role.
Won the anchor lottery.
Oh, well, you have worked this line area before. You haven't dealt with anything really dangerous, though. So I'm not inclined to give you a minus anyway. You don't have any pluses.
Do the other bulls swear to follow your orders without hesitation?
Yeah, they're totally in it. 2d6.
Oh!
Ooh, okay, so I guess that means I'm going to do a move. So what do you do to like get them organized and face these ghosts? Like, what's your plan?
It's a failure, so I think there probably is just chaos. Maybe his head has temporarily knocked out communications, and I'm just kind of vaguely gesticulating, and nobody really understands what I'm what I'm trying to communicate.
That's brilliant. Okay, so as you're like gesticulating for everyone, and you're probably screaming in your or talking in your ruined radio piece, these ghosts just descend on you, and there's just this crackling sensation of ghostly ectoplasmic hands, lightning laced ghostly ectoplasmic hands raking across you as they sort of tear at you in this mad blind anger. So let's see. Let's make that another two trauma. Harm, not trauma. Which becomes one then for your armor. Now, in addition, let's see. We have an owl. So let's do your owl thing.
All right.
You're the oogler.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure the best way around this. So, nope. I rolled a 4.
Oh, did you? Okay. So ask me a question anyway.
What's the best way to help poor Booker?
It's not anything that's according to like protocol or what you've been taught, but and you don't have a heavy encounter suit, but you really need to get those ghosts off him. Like they're a little too much for even like him to deal with, since there are three of them. You'd have to like grab one or come into contact with one to tear it off. That's the best way to help him.
Or have one of the other guys maybe.
If you don't do this yourself, you're going to have -2.
I guess I'm going to try to finesse one of them off with my lightning hook.
That's not what I said. You're going to have to use force, right? You're going to have to grab one, wrestle it, rip it off.
Okay, so, but still with the lightning hook, because there's no way I can kind of physically grab it. So
it's too risky. Like you might hit him again.
I guess I will then,
If you do this, right? If you do this this way with force, you're not going to have a minus. You can still finesse his stuff off if you prefer. But you'll have a -2.
Okay, I'll do a force then. I'll try to force it. I don't get any bonuses from that, but I'll just try to reach in there and just grab one and try to yank it. Try to draw it off onto me, I guess. So, and I roll a 9. I did do
What's
one.
What's that on force? One. You get to choose one.
I'll drive one of them back. How's that?
Cool. That's what you wanted. So that's awesome. How does that look? You grab one of them. They're all like sort of substantial, but insubstantial.
I reach down, grab a cable off of my belt, you know, the grounding cable, snap it onto a nearby metal hook that's on top of the train, and reach up, and I'm grounded now. And I'm going to grab it and sort of ground it and grab it through the grounding at that point and try to get him off that way.
So you're left with like this ghost hanging in a grounding cable noose off the train. Is that what I'm?
Actually, I'm more or less grounding them to the train. Yes, I'm doing that so they can't grab me. How's that? I'm physically grounded so they can't grab me, but I'm grabbing them, so to speak, with my magnetic gloves, I guess. And
do you choose drive them back, see something, or create an opportunity? So it sounds like you're seeing one of the ghosts.
I guess I am then. Yes, I'm grabbing and pulling it out and yelling at Danfield. Danfield, got one!
Awesome. Okay. So there's just lots of static infused swearing on Danfield's part. And I think, yeah, Danfield is the closest. You can see Danfield sort of clanking over in the middle of the red mist in between the lightning flashes with the sort of lightning bottle ready, looking like this weird leather insect rushing across the roof of the train. So while they're rushing forward and you're doing that, Booker, you have two ghosts you're wrestling with presently. What are you doing?
Use force to beat them away.
All right. That works for me. Oh,
not Booker's day.
No. So I'm going to say, like, you get into this, like, tug-of-war pushing contest with the ghosts who are sort of swirling around you and pushing and pulling, and you lose your footing, right? One of your mag boots, actually both, give way at the same time, and you tumble down in between some train cars, and you're left sort of dangling by your leg, upside down, with the ghosts sort of rushing out, coming after you. He goes, Claremont, you see this happening. You see the ghosts are just like making short work of poor Booker. You can help him, or you can make sure that Danfield can capture this ghost that you've grounded.
I yell, web him, and I let go, and I run over to. And I'm going to try to grab Booker's foot and try to pull him up.
Awesome. Okay.
I guess I'm trying to do a finesse and try to do it quickly or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally finesse.
Yeah, so that's another plus one. Ha-ha! So I get to do three.
Oh, cool.
So I do all three, I guess. My one goal was to toss the ghost up so that Danfield could web it.
That's not part of the.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah, so I run over there. I lightning hook one out of the way, scoop around his belly, yank it out, and then I reach and grab the loose foot, not the one that's hanging onto the thing, but the loose foot, and pull up and get Booker more or less on his belly onto the back on top of the car.
I'm guessing maybe you'll have to use one of those like cables to help you haul him up. Given that he's in his heavy encounter suit.
I guess I grab his cable and sort of like...
Oh, yeah.
Yank it up and latch it on so it's secure. And then at most he'll fall 5 feet. And then pull him up and get him onto the deck.
So you see, you pull him up, Booker, yeah. You back up. One of the ghosts is sort of retreating out into the mist. The red sort of mist apparently going like, okay, probably other victims to attack, but one is still swirling, and you can see in the background how Danfield and Scappa are attempting to get past this.
When I let go.
You let go of what?
The one I let go.
That one's...
Just ran off?
Swirling around them too, yeah. But okay. There's this other one, this bigger one, looks kind of like a... an old, like an ancient Skovlan raider has like... what looks like some sort of shiny blue scale mail-ish kind of thing, and this big like two-handed sword who's like swinging at Scappa in these like electric arcs with this like ghostly two-handed sword. So they're like their hands are full, right? You notice that.
So
what you guys do? Still a ghost attempting to make horrible ghostly love to you.
Bring his hook and try to hook it.
All right. What is that? Is that finesse? Or it could be steel, if you want to draw it into contact with you again. I guess I should ask, what exactly are you doing? And then we'll go by that.
I really don't understand how these guys deal with the ghosts, so it's kind of... I don't know what he
As an actor, you would probably just, you have an electro field, so ghosts are naturally attracted to you. So you essentially just, you know, activate the electro field and then you just stand there and try to keep your lunch down as they, like, approach you so the others can grab them. But that may not be his style. Like, maybe he's more of a wrestler because he doesn't know any better. Like, you're an apprentice. Nobody said you're an expert.
Can you grab him and smack him with the electro field?
Sure. Under force, there's an option that says seize something. You want to seize the ghost?
Sure.
Do some harm to it? Yeah?
No.
Oh. Unfortunately, if you assist, you can only get a plus one. So, like, the best Claremont can do would be to help you to a six, which is still a miss. So I guess, like, you've been jogged around so much. Your sense of up and down are no longer quite there. So I guess you like, swing out in this, like, haymaker swing at one of the ghosts to sort of hit it and grab it, the ghost, rather. And it just sinks in under your swing and then embraces you, I guess. Forces its horrible, sickly face in through the mask. You're now, like, facing the ghost through your mask, right? Not from the other side of the mask. Take two trauma.
Yikes.
Which is one, then, because you're cold. What do you do, Claremont?
Well, it worked once before. I clipped myself down, so I'm grounded again. I'm just going to reach up and grab it by its butt and pull it out. I guess I'm being forceful again.
Sure.
Nope, not forceful enough.
Oh, cool. Okay. I think you grab it, right? Mm-hmm. And in the dash, the cable comes loose.
Oh.
So you're dashed into it, or mm-hmm. rather through it, almost.
Oh.
And you sort of get this jolt of electro energy and sort of this heavy chills. You get these heavy chills. You're not badly hurt, but you do take two trauma.
Oh. And I have nothing to reduce that, so...
It's not, you know, kind of like when you drop someone into really cold water and they go... right? That's the experience.
What happens when you take all your trauma? You just go out of it?
Let's see.
Your mind you go insane. Okay.
You're not cold? You've never... maybe two is a bit cruel. Let me see.
I got three filled in so far, so I can take three more before.
Okay. Each pie piece is a one. Each pie piece is a one, so. Oh, right. Yeah. You're at 9 o'clock. You're not quite at my Shatter's level yet or territory. Yeah. But this is not a fun situation. So the ghost, at least, by this, is distracted. Does a sort of ghostly pirouette and sort of looks around it as if, you know, it's expecting someone else to come attacking it. But Claremont is sort of on her knees on the train roof with all these, like, lightning flashes and the crimson mist sort of flashing by and swirling by, rather. You're free of the ghost for the moment, Booker. What do you do?
So it's looking another way. So
it's looking for a different attacker, as if it was, like, surprised that someone had the gall to attack it from behind or something.
Charge it, bull rush it, you know, knock it back into the cloud or something.
I love this. It's just like a check, a football check. Cool, that sounds like force.
Hey, finally got a good
ball. Oh, good. So two.
Drive it back and suffer a little harm in doing this.
Awesome. So that's no harm for you? Cool. Okay. Awesome. So, you just, what does that look like? Like, you check the ghost off the...
Yeah, it just runs into it and boom, and it falls off and swirls into the cloud.
Awesome. Let's say a stray, like, lightning bolt just hits it, and there's this high-pitched shriek as it's sort of disintegrated in this lightning display of ectoplasmic force.
Go to the right.
Both of you are free for the moment. Danfield and Scapa are they've hooked the big, like, crazy Scopeland Raider ghost. Danfield's, like, trying to get it to be sucked into the spirit bottle, however that works.
Technically, can I assist by using my spirit goggles and yelling something if I get a good roll on my insight?
Sure, why not?
Goggles down and look at it and... Nah, not a clue.
Ask one anyway.
What's the best way for them to bottle that thing?
Yeah, keep their cool. He's fighting the lightning hook pretty fiercely.
So I imagine Scapula's got the heavy hook.
You know,
It's the only reason why they've been able to actually hold him in place.
Yep.
So I say, don't let him rile you. You know, he's just trying to get you angry so you make mistakes. And I hear, no shit, Sherlock. With the equivalent for this world.
That's when you realize you've lost track of
the other ghost
number two, right? That you had booked before. And she comes shrieking up out of the mist and knocks you on your feet. Booker, what do you do?
Knocks me on my feet?
Off your feet.
I guess I'll...
You're sort of sliding across the metal train roof, like the brass parts of your suit, like grinding against the metal.
I'll go try to grab the one that was attacking Claremont.
Force it. Force all the way.
Yeah!
So for you, is that a 12 plus?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll seize it and suffer.
All right. Awesome. You grab it. You hold it.
I got it. Do something.
Let's see. Do you get a spirit bottle as a for your basic gear? You don't, do you?
Nope. Only the spider gets them.
That's a toughie. Okay.
You got a ticket to Danfield.
So you're useless. Okay.
Okay. They're forcing the big Scopeland ghost into the first spirit bottle, and Danfield's just tying it off or putting it in whatever slot in the suit it goes in. He becomes aware that you have a ghost as well, right? So I think getting it over there is a finesse roll, totally.
Well, I hope you can help me on this then, because I'm big and clumsy.
Yeah. I really can't help you.
Even though I'm sure you do everything in your power, right? This ghost is a little crazier than the others. She is just tearing and kicking and waving her ghostly arms and appendages about. She catches some of the encounter suit buckles and stuff and rips them off. All of a sudden, like your heavy helmet just blows off. You know, falls away, clanks off, and falls off into the ink black nothing, right? And suddenly you have a mouthful of this like almost searing reddish mist. Right. And it's like you're swallowing electricity, right? It's like you're swallowing something with static electricity in it. That's how every gulp of air feels like. So pretty soon, like your tongue goes numb, your throat's all like horrible. Take one harm.
Yikes.
That isn't affected by the suit.
Suit doesn't count. The ghost is about to come loose. What do you do, Claremont?
We have free time. I had to swap out bottles. Whip out the old lightning hook. Try to snare it. So it's going to be another force attack, I guess, and hold it in place. Oh yes, I seize it.
What would that be? You know what?
Yeah, I can see. You know, basically the hook. It's sort of like one of those things they use to grab animals with, like a snare hook.
Sure.
So I got around it and I pull it tight. So I've got it at the end of the stick, holding it in the air. It's screaming and she's going around all over the place, holding her in place while Danfield!
Clank, 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 clank. You do suffer harm, though. Say one harm. It's not. It's indirect electricity, I'd say. It's not really a big deal. You bag it. You the spirit is sucked down into the spirit bottle. Danfield seals it, slips it in the case where they go in. Kind of at that moment, you exit the storm. Like it's just like a curtain that just vanishes. And you're back in this like swirling, ink dark mist. No, the usual mist, right?
But not the Deathland fog.
Not the choking Deathland fog, quite. Well, it's just a normal, unpleasant ocean fog.
I'll clank over to Booker and help him up. Let's get you back. Let's get you to the cabin. And I don't know if you have a spare or at least get you a face mask or something. That's right. Your tongue's completely numb.
So we do a diagonal wipe, and you're walking into your little like line bowl compartment.
It's like a caboose, only it's at the wrong end of the train.
Sure, sure. Where you have all your like personal shit and playing cards, probably dice, drinks, since you have Hague with you.
And Hague's probably plastered off in the corner someplace.
Yeah, he's pissed himself in the corner, snoring. The best possible handler you could have.
After I close and seal the door, I'll pull my mask off and look around. So how do you feel, Booker?
Like shit.
Like shit, yeah. I'll look and see. We don't got a spare helmet. I know that. Do we have a spare mask we can hook up to his airlines? Or
Sure.
Grab from his unresisting hands the flask and hand it over to Booker. This might help a little bit.
Like, of course, it has his, like, snot-covered saliva on the rim. But it looks to be, like you've had a swig before. It's a fortifying Skoblen liquor, so that's good. Mm-hmm. So you've, like, barely caught your breath when there's, like this knock on the door.
Unseal it and open it up.
You see a kind of unreal to you, I guess. You see this, like, servant in this, like, powdered wig with this liveried coat in blue, and he has these like you know those like knee breeches with the long mm-hmm. stockings, so kind of colonial era stuff with like big buckled shoes and the big like arm cuffs, and he looks at you, you know, down his nose, and he says, "I mind to understand that this is the Lion Bull's compartment."
I'm half tempted to reach out and touch him just make sure he's real. In fact, I'll do that. I'll just reach out.
You probably leave like a smear of ectoplasm on like on his impeccable velvet coat.
Or give him some huge static shock.
Arcs an eyebrow at your pawing, but he's like, it would be a faux pas of some kind to like tell you off. So he
acknowledge
doesn't.
It, yes. What can I help you with?
The Lord Penderin requires the company of your most senior member. And his voice doesn't crack. That's fine.
I turn and look at the snoring figure of our most senior member. Now look at Booker. Booker! Lord Pemberton wants to see you.
That would be Penderin, sir.
Penderin. All right. Yeah, Lord Penderin wants to see you. As I'm looking at him, I give him a wink.
Huh?
Yeah. How'd you get here? Did you clamber over the top?
I used the usual conveyance of going from car to car. Is there another I'm not aware of?
We're on a freight train, aren't we?
Yeah, mostly.
I look at him. You're braver than I would think.
I'm only doing my job, sir.
I'll help Booker up. And take this flask and look at it and wipe a little spit off and take a shot myself. And then leave it out of reach of Higgs. This is a pine form, and so he has to actually get up and get it.
Yeah, actually, I think by this time, like, the wafting of Higg is reaching this like, butler. So he's like, he pulls up this, like, powdered handkerchief from inside his jacket and sort of holds it up sort of to his nose discreetly, like...
He's not one of our more better fellows. Anyway, to Lord Penderton.
Penderton, sir.
Ma'am.
Madam. Yes, of course, madam. Mm-hmm. So confusing these days.
Yeah. All these
movements of all these equal rights movements.
Anyway.
It was better in the good old days, weren't it, sir? He says to Booker.
Yeah, good old days.
I guess we go to the freight kit cars then. Because
before he leaves, he looks at you both, and he's and the most senior member would be this fellow, and he points to Booker.
Yes.
Well,
who's in any shape to talk to Lord Penderin?
Well, he points to Booker, not Hague.
Prevaricating with the truth, he's the most conscious person.
Booker isn't helping the lie though, because he just looks confused.
Lord Penderin shall only require one of you. Which should I bring?
Are you absolutely sure? I mean, two's better than one.
I shall have to explain myself to Lord Penderin, I suppose. This way. So he turns on his heel and sort of clacks his way on his manly high-heeled shoes down the inside of the actual car you can live and sleep in. And I imagine there are these, like, you can negotiate the outside of the train, like by way of rail and stuff. So that's what he's been doing. A railing, that's what I mean. Like you can kind of like those old timey cars with the foot. You know what I mean? Basically, it's a little platform. It's just a railing for your feet and a railing to hold on to, and that's how you negotiate it.
He is braver than I thought.
Oh yeah. So he just, you know, anytime you go outside, he just clamps his mouth, his thin little gash of mouth shut, and just holds his breath and negotiates the length of the carriage, and then goes. Actually, that you don't go inside, right? So it's mostly freight. So I guess he breathes through his nose or something. Just
he's
squints.
Got a big nose.
So yeah, you're sort of moving across the train like insects on the outside. Like far below you is the misty ink black sea, coattails flapping. The butler shepherds you into to the endmost car. There we go.
Yeah, the private car.
You see the this like guard peeking out from like the back windowed car door. And slides it open for you.
I guess Booker goes in first because you are a senior.
Okay.
Probably a natural progression. Like you, at some point, you Claremont just like after you, right? And So yeah. Anyway, you're shown into this like it's a fairly big car. It's a fairly sizable car. So you have this like vestibule almost with these like heavy hangings and draperies and. You know, those old Rococo, like 18th century, like puffy padded, wooden seats and sofas.
Lots of mahogany.
Oh yeah. And, paneled walls, wood paneled walls. Like it's like from what you're used to, this is like walking into another world. And there's like the set of like there's this polished mahogany table with this impeccable set of china on it with like a gold leaf rim that's like shaking slightly in the with the movements of the train.
That table alone would set me for life.
Totally. There's a different set of sliding doors straight ahead, and there's a guard in front of them, and butler like approaches the guard and sort of they have a whispered conversation, and the guard sort of squints at you both and then nods. Butler turns to you too, and he says, "I shall, of course, require that you, in the presence of Lord Penderin, that you exercise the utmost decorum. Please try to refrain from bourgeois behavior."
Yeah,
I just imagine that Booker is just silent, right?
As Booker is like, I'm looking for where to spit.
Oh, beautiful. I guess like being the impeccable butler, he will just like take one stride. It's like not even, you didn't even notice that he moved, but suddenly he's in front of you with this napkin, holding it up as if you're supposed to spit there or leave it there.
Okay, he'll take the napkin and spit in it and hand it back to him.
And he carefully folds it up.
Yes, puts it in his left-hand pocket on the coat. With no betrayal, actually, of whatever he might think of what you just did. He does the slightest sort of look to the heavens, and then he goes to open the final door. And you're greeted, you are ushered into this more luxurious car. There's a big desk, there are seats, there's a smoking corner, there are books. It's like a miniature version of a lord's manor, right? All in one long stretch. Probably has like a bathtub complete with plumbing and everything in the furthest back, right? But you don't see that stuff. There are these like elaborate paintings on the walls of stern ancestors and castles and stuff. Things that you never see anymore. And there's probably like this giant... Oh, what do you call it? Like the head of a deer or something?
A stag?
Yes, like a Scoveland stag just above your heads when you come in. These like beautiful, huge horns. Antlers. And in the middle of this profusion, you have Lord Penderin, who is maybe 11, probably a small child for his age. He has kind of a similar coat to what the butler has, like a similar getup, similar style. Except he has no wig. Like he looks really like coiffed and he has this like almost wet face as if it were like polished porcelain. And he's sitting in this like Rococo sofa, with a like tea saucer and a teacup, and he's holding it in like his with his thumb and forefinger, and he looks up at you and it just beams as if like, oh, the best thing ever has happened. And the butler is, Lord Edwin Penderin the Fourth, may I present to you the Lion Bulls? And he sort of indicates with a raised eyebrow that some of you should speak up and say your names. That one of you or both.
Booker, your lordship.
I'm Claremont, and I do a little curtsy.
Awesome.
I mentioned him looking like Little Boy Blue, if you're familiar with that painting.
I'm going to have to look that up later. I don't know the reference yet. He scoots off the sofa so he can like stand up. And like I said, he's kind of small for his age, so he's like sitting there dangling his legs. So he scoots off and runs up. I'm so glad that you could come. I have heard so many stories of Lion Bulls and ghosts and such. Come, sit down. You must have tea and crumpets. It's like really excited the way kids do get.
Oh, I can see this.
Except he has this, like, almost like affected, like he should be, like he is acting slightly older than he is, the way you get kids who are very strongly schooled and are surrounded only by adults.
I can just see the butler now going, I'm going to have to burn those chairs when we're done. Gingerly sit down in the chair and look for a place to hang my mask.
if you're like looking for a place to hang your mask, Lord Penderin, he puts down his tea, he points to the mask and says, may I? In that sort of, can I touch it, you know?
I have my mask.
And he looks it over and rather looks like some form of heroic demon, doesn't it?
It's protection, my lord.
So I'm sure you are very fearsome, walking the line of the trains. Oh, to do something like that myself, he says, doing an almost like histrionic, theatrical, like posturing, accompanying it. Like, oh, you know, woe is me. I have to be inside here with all my comforts.
I look over at Booker and raise an eyebrow.
And he looks to the butler and he says, Tyrconnel, you must make me a replica of this. I shall wear it to every fancy ball and dress ball as long as I live. Then he stops himself and says, no, stop. And he looks to Claremont and says, may I keep this?
My lord, I need this. I need this because we may still encounter more ghosts. And if we encounter more fog, I'll need us to be able to breathe. And I won't be able to protect you and your retinue here.
Oh, of course. Oh, how silly of me. Of course you need it. Well, back to the old plan, Tyrconnel. And Tyrconnel goes, yes, very good, sir. Of course, sir. Mm-hmm. May I take that from you, sir? I shall take good care of it. Don't you worry. Mm-hmm. Madam.
Thank you, O'Connell.
Tyrconnel.
Tyrconnel. I get the names wrong every time.
Yeah. And Tyrconnel, sort of, after grabbing the mask, he presents these polished silver, gleaming silver platter with like tea and some sort of biscuits.
Booker is just stuffing all the biscuits in his mouth.
I'll take a saucer and tea and set on the table, and then I'll take a biscuit and sort of dip it in the tea and nibble on it.
Lord Penderin's like, oh dear, the brute must be frightfully hungry. Are you not fed properly? I shall complain. I shall complain to the authorities of the Electro Rail. Where do I complain?
Oh, no. That's where he is, my lord. He's always hungry.
Oh, they could give us more grub.
Well, you hear him. He shall have more. What is grub, Tyrconnel? Tyrconnel, what is grub? Tyrconnel says, it is slang, sir. It means food, I am told. And he sort of gives Booker this look through the corner of his eye, like, I don't want to be associated with you people, kind of in that way. And then, you have tea and biscuits. And for like a few minutes, Lord Penderin goes through like the sort of small talk and happy stuff. And so now he gets past his like initial wow Lion Bulls thing. And then he scoots back, he hustles back to his sofa and hops on top of it and fluffs the pillows. And he says, well, you are probably wondering why I called you here. I was hoping to speak to the senior most Lion Bull. Both of you are the senior most, or which of you is the most experienced?
I look over at Booker. He's had a lot more experience with ghosts than I have. You had three on you. You know, I didn't.
And then looks over, you know, with like, oh, is that so?
Well, suppose I've had more contact than Claremont. Yes.
Oh, that's marvelous. I suppose Claremont then is some sort of attaché, or perhaps your own Tyrconnel. Yes.
Something like that. Yes.
You know, I just sort of,
how do you feel about that, Claremont?
I look at Booker and I, you know, go, yes, sir.
Wonderful, wonderful. Then perhaps you can tell me, I have a slight embuggerance, you might say. It's Mother. She has not been behaving lately. And I was told that perhaps you were the type of people who are versed in these sort of things to deal with relatives. Yes?
Don't take your meaning, sir.
Well, you understand, Mother is quite dead, but I was so loath to part with her, right? She's so very dear to me. I have her in the back, but she has taken to clawing everything in sight. I think something must be wrong with poor Mother, and perhaps you would know how to fix her, yes?
I just blink.
Looking at Claremont to make sure that you've got some of the lightning oil on you.
Yeah, I sort of blink, blink, blink. You have your mother's spirit in the back of this train car?
Oh, no, no. I don't think so, anyway. I'm not versed in how this sort of thing works, you see. That's why I called for you. I Mother is back there, and she hasn't really been herself since she died. Of course, but she has never been clawing anyone before, and I would like her to stop clawing. Could you perhaps arrange so that she does not claw anymore? I would so like to get my goodnight kisses.
I turn my head and look at Tyrconnel, and I go, you have a ghost in this car?
Not a ghost, sir. It is the late Lady Penderin. She is quite substantial.
Not a ghost. Wait, a zombie?
I do not know what you would call them, sir, but I believe that perhaps the late... He looks over to Lord Penderin, who's looking at him very intently and sort of wide-eyed. I believe that the lady has decided to take an extended vacancy of her senses. Yes, that is probably the best way to describe it. She is quite real and quite, alive but dead in the back.
I look at Booker. That's either a hollow or an undead. She was very attentive to the Lord for a while?
Yes, yes, I believe so, yes. Well, wasn't that the case? Yes, yes, yes. Mother was so very loving. I got my goodnight kisses and my stories every night. But now something is wrong, you see, and I need you to fix her. And I shall be very cross if you do something to harm Mother.
I look at Booker.
Yeah, Claremont can do this for you.
I mouth the words, you bastard.
My job is mostly to harm the ghost. Claremont can fix it.
Yeah, okay. I sort of, could you... I take my, because it's built into my mask. I'll have to take a look at her to see what's going on. To see.
Naturally, of course. I shall have, Tyrconnel, would you please show Madame Claremont to the back and show her mother?
Put my mask on and, did I bring my lightning? Of course I brought my lightning hook with me. You never leave without it. And I sort of have it ready just in case. We go back and, I guess he leaves me.
While they move away, Lord Penderin brings out the broadest smile he has, and then he produces a small plate full of extra, biscuits, and he proffers them up to Booker with now where were we?
Ah, thank you, your lordship.
Tyrconnel shows you off, shows you back to the very back, and indeed you pass what you suspect is like an integrated bathroom. There is a small compartment, which you would guess is probably Tyrconnel's normal living quarters. Like it's just almost like a cell. Someone has changed the door so that it's like reinforced iron, and there's a like a prison slot where you can sort of take the slot to the side and open a, like a little slot in the door so you can see inside.
And I look inside, right?
Okay, yes. You see a woman who's, her hair is all messy. She's very pale. You can't really see her age necessarily because, like, her hair is long and dark and sort of messy in her face. If she had some kind of fancy hairdo, noble hairdo at some point, it's, you know, long since gone. Like, it's been unraveled. Actually, her hair is probably pretty long. Right. It used to be set, put up in this elaborate, like, probably. And she's in this shift, like an underdress. And she has these long, like grayish reddish claw marks on her forearms. And she's sort of scratching, she's sitting sort of bent and scratching her left forearms, the inside of her forearm, rocking back and forth.
So I'm not going to take not going to do the insight roll yet. I'm looking at her just basically. I look up. So she's either an undead and basically she's becoming restless, or her spirit left and now she's just a hollow, and that's why she's misbehaving. I'm not sure what we can do if she's become that.
Is this something you say to Tyrconnell, or is this?
I figure Tyrconnell has to deal with this because Lord Penderin wants his mother with him. If it's the latter, there's really nothing I can do to fix her.
I hope that is not the case. I can always attempt to make a case with the young sir, but I sure hope it is the former.
Unfortunately, I tapped the iron door. I can't use my goggles through here. Slipping down. You know, whatever you need to do, step aside, because I guess I'm going in to take a look at her. I've got the hook out. I'm not going to try to harm her, but I may have to hold her off.
Okay. So he fishes out a key, and he like, turns this heavy lock, and then he times it so that you're ready, and he opens it up.
I step through, and then he closes behind me, I guess, and locks it, right?
Oh, yes. There's a rattle of the lock. And there's this last, like, good luck, sir, through the slot, and then the slot closes.
Good luck, ma'am, you mean, yeah.
Ma'am, got it.
Yeah. Hook straight forward, says, between me and her, and the goggles are down, and I'm basically, I guess, going to do an insight roll on her.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, crap. Well, I guess I get one question, right?
Yes.
I guess I have to go with the obvious one. What's really going on here?
With your spirit goggles on, reading the ghost field, you can tell that she probably died 5 or 6 years ago. And she's like this spirit who should actually, it should have been destroyed. Because the longer a spirit is around after its body dies, the greater the chance it goes crazy. And it's just that process has been delayed for some reason, or it's maybe been slowly eating away at her during these years. But now, like, it's irrevocable. Like, you can't un-crazy a spirit. There's no way to do that. Best you could, like, okay, I'm not going to tell you too much because you missed.
Yeah. Best I can do is either put her down.
What's going on here? The spirit inside is going crazy.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here.
And
it's,
of course,
it's undead, right?
Yeah. And of course, it sees me and goes, ah! Or not.
No.
I mean,
meanwhile, while you're looking at this woman,
back
this
at
undead
the tea
woman,
party.
To the tea party, and there's this like tinny, staticky sound from your radio there.
Put it to my ear.
It's Scappa, and Scappa's like going, Booker, Claremont, anyone?
Excuse me, Your Lordship. Work calls.
Oh, naturally.
Yeah, what is it? We're dealing with our noble passenger here.
What the hell are you talking about? You have a job to do. Where are you? We're dealing with spirits.
Yeah, we're doing that too.
Yeah, okay, fine. Higgs out, as usual. There's some lingering spirits up by the cab, and I'm told that some idiot brought a casket on, and I have no idea if this body has been recently deceased or has been deceased for a long time, but this is a ticking time bomb. You need to go deal with it. We have our hands busy. Like, we're busy. We have our hands full.
Where is this casket?
it's supposed to be in one of the, I don't know, cab 8 or car 8. Car 8, maybe? The manifest is a bit shitty.
All right, I'll look into it.
Yeah, and there's just this click. Like, as soon as you acknowledge that you're going to look into it, it's just over. Lord Pendrin looks over excitedly, you know. Oh, is there a ghost afoot? What's happening?
Just something I should probably go look at after I finish these last few biscuits.
And he puts his hand up to his mouth like, oh, would it be terrible of me to impose? Could you possibly bring me with you so I could see this abomination for myself?
I don't think we have any gear your size, sir.
I'm sure your compatriot, Madame Claremont, is not using her mask. I could use her mask, yes? It's right over there, eh? Isn't it? I could...
No, I took it with me. I took it with me.
Oh, okay, okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Then he points off, and then he's like, oh, she took it with her. Well, perhaps you don't suppose I could put on my thickest coat and goggles, and that would be enough? Oh. And there's this, like, you know, he's sitting on his, like, sofa with his dangling legs, and he's, you know, there's this, like, jerk of a leg as if he's kicking something invisible.
He's not used to being told no.
Not quite, no. But, you know, I think he gets it a little. You finish off the last of the biscuits.
Okay, yeah, and get on the radio thing. And how you doing in there, Claremont? Got everything sorted?
I come back. Well, she's undead. And, well, she's insane. The only proper thing to do would be to put her down. But he's... I'm not sure what to do at this point. She hasn't attacked me yet. But we may have to help her move on to, you know, wherever spirits go to pass on to the afterlife.
All right. Well, you do that. I got to go deal with that casket in car 8.
Oh, whoa. Casket? What casket?
I don't know. Gabba said there's somebody got to put a casket in car 8. I don't know.
So we have two dead bodies to worry about now. Great.
And counting.
And counting, yeah. Well, I'll see what I can do here. I'm not sure what I can do.
His lordship has every faith in you. Good luck.
Love you, too. Yeah, so I'll tap on the iron door and, you know, I'm hoping Takano's still out there.
The slot opens.
What's her name?
Sober faces right there. Sorry?
What's her ex-lady's name?
Lady Volette.
Turn to her and say, Lady Volette, do you hear me, Lady Volette?
There's maybe a twitching and something, but there's no, like, indication that this individual or this body is actually, like, acknowledging you.
Do I remember his full name?
Lord Edwin Pendrin. That wouldn't be too difficult to remember, I think.
Yeah, I go, Edwin.
I guess...
I'm seeing if she's going to react to that name or not, because I have a feeling the person she's angry at is the person keeping her here.
I think she starts sort of like this guttural, and then she raises her voice into this like just piercing, painful wail that just fills the little cell wall to wall, which then fades into... and as she's like quivering where she's sitting and the sort of scratching begins to intensify and that like you can see that she's scratching off whole like strips of flesh, not flesh, skin with her nails. Like it's getting way worse.
Yeah, I'm not going to stop her at that point. So like, all right, I need to have a talk, but not with her. I bang on the door. Let me out.
The slot opens. Are you certain, sir? Madam. Madam, it's so difficult to tell, you know, over those masks.
Yeah, because the problem's not here. The problem's back in the sitting room.
I see. Let me get back to you. And the slot closes. And we go both over to car 8.
Booker, yeah.
So yeah, Booker, you're climbing along the cars and you get to car 8. There's this, like, lock. This heavy chain they didn't really think about before. You probably saw it on your way over to the Endmost car, the Noble's car, but you didn't really think about why it was there. Totally non-standard, heavy chain, padlock. What do you do?
I'll use whatever gear I got to smack it or bust it open.
All right. Let's see. What would that be? I guess that would be, let's say finesse, but use force. All right. So you do it without trouble. Hold on. Oh, you get to pick two? Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to impress yourself, or are you fine with doing it quickly and without compromise or cost? I do it spectacularly, but no one is around to see it. All right, cool. So you just smash the padlock, I guess?
Yeah.
Yes, and the door easily opens, and you're looking into all these stacked crates, I guess, with these ink stamps on them, or either burned into the wood, or they're like ink stamps. There's some kind of chittering in the back, as if maybe someone is hauling some animal.
First, we check out the chittering.
You hope it's an animal.
Okay. You negotiate with your big suit, right, into the back through the various, boxes. And just as you suspected, there's a box at the bottom, like wedged in the bottom in a corner with, breathing holes in it. And you can hear scratching and screaming, but you've never, heard anything like this before. It's not an animal you know.
Is this a nice strong box?
Several layers. You know, it's not going to break. And whatever is inside, clearly, it's not like there's a heavy pounding or anything. It's about the size of, a meter by 1 meter by 1 meter. A little over a yard, right? In each dimension.
If I can't discern anything from the holes, then okay, it's going to stay in there. Then I'll go looking for the casket.
All right. It takes some, rummaging around, but you find the only thing that really makes sense, which is this long box, which is, labeled, I think it says arms or something. There's some crest on it, a stamp of rifle maker in the Imperial City. But clearly, it's the only box that could have a body in it, unless they, bundled it up.
Grab whatever crowbar type you've got and start prying it open.
All right. So you do. You pry it open and it cracks open and lo and behold, there's not one body. There are two bodies. There's a man and a woman who appear to be sort of their post in a sort of embrace. And there are all these flower petals and, things you very rarely see anymore anywhere, right? Strewn all over them and about them, right? And both of them have these wreaths, almost like wedding wreaths around their heads. But they've clearly been dead for, a while.
I guess lightning oil all over them.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll start hauling this crate towards the door.
Oh, you're just going to dump it out? Okay.
Light them on fire and chuck them overboard.
All right, okay. So let's, just for fun's sake, let's stop it there. So you pour the lightning oil all over them and you you produce your, matchstick or whatever. And then we cut back to...
Claremont.
Claremont, yes. Volette is getting a little more agitated, she's begun to rock more violently when, the slot opens again. And Chaconnel's are you certain, madam, there's nothing at all you can do?
She resents being held here. And as much as she may love her son, she's dead. And her spirit wants to go on and basically go on to the afterlife. And the longer he keeps her here, the more she will be in psychic pain. He's actually harming her by keeping her here.
Chaconnel looks grim. And then you hear in the background, Chaconnel, what is taking so... blasted long. I have been waiting, I am sure, very long now, and I am all out of biscuits. Do tell her to hurry up. And DeConnell, turns and goes, young sir, master, please return to the sitting room. This is no place for you here. It might be dangerous. Oh, DeConnell, shut up. And you can sort of, DeConnell, get me a chair. Get me a chair so I can see. And, DeConnell's like, yes, sir. He moves away.
Yeah, I think by this time I'm not sitting there all defensive. Like, I probably moved off to the side. If there's another chair, I'll probably be sitting in it and just looking at her, you know.
It's really tiny. Like, it's like this cramped room. There's a very narrow bed. There's like a tiny table with a bowl on it that you probably wash your face in. And there's a chair. And that's all there is space for, right?
Yeah, I'm probably sitting on the bed then, because she's probably on the chair from your description. So I'm sitting on the bed.
She's on the bed. Let's say she's on the bed. So you're on the chair. Right next
on
to
the chair.
Yeah.
And I've pulled my mask off and sat on the table. I'm looking at her. And I look, and if I see his face poke through, I say, my lord?
Right. You see these like tiny digits first, like coming over the edge to the slot. And then you sort of see him as if he's standing on tiptoe, right? Looking over with his nose, like he's looking down into the room. Madam Clement, how is it going?
I got to tell his boy we got to put down old Yeller. I look at him. Your mother's not at all well. In fact, the reason why she's been getting so bad is that she needs to move on. She loves you very much, but she needs to move on. And you have to let her go. I guess I'm being, finessing?
You know what? I think you are imposing your will. If you look at page 2.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, yeah, I see that, yeah. So what's his steel?
Your steel is greater, definitely. Right. Your level is the same, I guess. You're not a noble of Akeros, or are you?
No, did not take noble.
Are you threatening bodily harm? No. So plus 1?
So just a straight plus 1 then, huh? Ooh, 8.
You did not threaten bodily harm, so I can't do the last one. They choose. Either do what you say or take one. You know what? What would one trauma look like for this individual? Just for fun.
Oh, he just starts breaking down and crying because he really loves his mother.
You can see how his eyes get, you know, red and teary. And, you know, you see his nose, his eyes, and his brows, right? And he furrows his brow and he says, well, that is just nonsense. Mama is not allowed to leave me just like so. You will find a way, or I will leave you in here forever and throw away the key. You find a solution. Post haste. And then, you know, he slams the slot. What do you do?
I look over at Lady Valette. Do you wish to go on and leave this realm, this plane of existence?
Lady Valette has begun to... What seems to be like...
The kid was here. Her trigger's here.
Not quite. She appears to be sort of haphazardly looking for an opening in the walls. Like there used to be a door or a window somewhere that she's looking for, but she can't find it.
I go, Lady Bolette. I'm trying to get her attention. I'm not going to touch her because I don't think she wants to be touched right now. I think
there's a guttural rumble in her throat, but there's nothing else like comes out of her.
Lady Valette, do you want to leave?
I think maybe this is an insight situation, right?
Let's see if I do better this role. Marginally. I got an 8. That's enough for one. How could I get her... to move on of her own volition.
You know, I'm going to give this one to you for free because you would know. Like, if it's set up this way, like, she's trapped. You would have to destroy her to get her free. If you want to ask a different question, go ahead.
You say destroy her, but more or less, what's the best way to break her shell without making this thing a charnel house in the process?
I think the best way, are you asking more like, how could I get them to... They kick the shell without destroying the shell? Is that what you're asking?
Well, actually, think about it. I got my electro hook with me. I probably could just simply try to use an electro hook to pull her spirit out.
That would be something to the tune of what I would say, yes.
All right. So I guess...
You could conceivably draw out her spirit, yes.
Yeah. So I guess this would be a finessing roll, because I'm going to do it such that it doesn't really damage her.
I like it.
We give it a try. 9. Yes.
Choose 1.
I avoid trouble, compromise, or cost.
You have to tune the lightning hook so that you don't burn, like leave burns on the body and all that stuff. And then you have to like sort of you have to finesse it so that she's not thrashing or attacking you or clawing you. And mm-hmm. it's like a long process, but slowly, little by little, you begin to sort of ease this spirit out of the body. And it's like you're seeing this, like butterfly crawling out of its cocoon, its dead cocoon. It's just this blinding, beautiful, flowing hair as if she's underwater, right? There's this like flowing haired image, ghostly bluish image of the electro stuff crackling all around her, like emerging from this body in your hook.
Thinking I need to traumatize the kid. So I got her in my hook. So I
hold on. We're going to go back to
Booker. Yes.
Yes. Back to Booker. So Booker's standing there with the lightning. He's put lightning oil over the bodies, right? And he's standing there with his match. And you strike the match, and there's the little. Okay, it's not a bonfire match, but whatever. Overall special effect. Anyway, there's this like bright reddish like glare as you light the match, and if we're like in the audience and we're looking at the scene, like we're seeing this from facing Booker, and we can see behind Booker in the glare, we see these two people standing at his shoulder, like looking over his shoulder, seeing what he's about to do. Why don't you try a bit of insight here, Booker?
All right. Oh,
awesome.
What should I be on the lookout for?
The ghosts behind you!
Obviously, yeah.
So do you get to hold, is it two or three for you?
I think it's on an 11 is a two. I can keep that for...
Oh, yeah. This question determines that Booker is aware that there are ghosts behind him, right? If you didn't ask this, he wouldn't be.
Yeah. So, light the match, then what the... Hey, guys. Is it the same two that I'm about to burn the bodies of?
Yes, yes. It's clearly them.
Well, that means I'm too late. Is that what, I don't know the rules of the world here. I don't know whether Booker would either, but I don't.
They have clearly risen. Like, they've been in here somehow all this time. You came here too late, yeah.
So their bodies don't matter anymore?
They don't appear to be super crazy. The recently dead, you think, are not super crazy. Like, they could conceivably be reasoned with. But the longer they're dead and just floating around, the crazier they get and start attacking people. So, like, from your point of view, it's necessary to put them down, but they haven't said anything yet. Like, you've just turned and gone, oh, shit.
But there's no connection to the body anymore, right?
Destroying the body wouldn't destroy them. That's true. Yeah. Sorry, I should have started with that.
So then he goes, blows out the match.
And that you blow out the match, and their like ghostly bluish radiance fills the void, like when the match goes out, and the woman like reaches out to you, like it's this like really soft, vaguely electric touch. It's not harmful, but it's just like on your arm or shoulder, and she says, "What are you doing?"
Well, I was looking to help you move on.
Please, I would ask you to leave the bodies alone. They are destined for our relatives in Severos, for the traditional mausoleum. It would give comfort to our relatives. And the man, just has this grim, nodding look to him. I am aware that perhaps it would be a breach of your conduct or whatever oath you took as a line bull, as a ghost hunter, but we would ask that you leave us alone too, that we might look and watch for our relatives in Severos. They would be lost without us.
Well, all right.
All right.
Sure, that seems reasonable. I'll just let you guys hang out here then. I think we should be arriving, in no time.
By morning? Yeah. Oh, so she appears to be somewhat placated, and she says, very good, very good. Please seal the box so that no one sees what is inside. The flowers should do the work of masking our presence.
Yeah, all right. I just settle the top on it.
And the man just points sort of to you put the lid on. He's like, please, sir, hammer it shut, lest we be discovered.
Yeah, I'll go get a hammer and some nails.
Let's see if you can finesse your way out of this.
Not much chance of that. No.
Oh, dear. Okay. I don't know. Do you try to like, sidle away from them and, yeah. and toward the... Okay.
Putting my mask and everything back on.
Yeah, great. Okay. So without like looking away from you, the woman like says, "Dear, I believe he intends to betray us." And the man says, "I do believe you're right, dear. We must murder him." And, you know, that's when they reach out for you.
And that's when Claremont and everybody else hears over the things. Ghost Incarnate! Ghost Incarnate!
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Do you guys feel like you want to wrap up the story today? Or should we, like, end early and talk about, you know, what we think, like, worked for a little bit? Maybe we only need, like, 10, 15 more minutes anyways.
I was planning to kick the door and tell, you know, to kind of open the goddamn door. And I was going to present Lord Pennerton, his mother.
So let's do that and then have the radio message come over the, And then if we have some time left, we can decide if we want to, you know.
So I guess I'm imposing my will again, the Lord, and said, "Here's your mother." And she's probably looking very, I can't say the word. But she's very beautiful, and then I let her go.
Radiant is the word, yes.
Say your goodbyes.
Okay. Well, yeah, why not? Let's say that's imposing your will. If you know, you bang on the door and you know, the slot opens up again and you see the nose of Lord Pendrin.
I would want to do this more cinematic. You'll kick the door and tell Connell open the goddamn door.
Oh god. Gotcha. Okay.
And then I walk into the parlor with the ghost at the end of the hook.
Letting you out, that's totally going to be an impose your will, like, individual role, I think.
So I got 7. That's enough to force my way out, I think, isn't it? Or
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, I take a trauma, though, don't I?
The slot opens and Tyrconnell is there and he sees that you have this, like, ghost Volette in your lightning hook. And he's like, and I think he's just so... stunned because he's never seen a ghost, right? And he does what you say. Out from the like sitting room, you can hear, of course, the young master, Lord Pendrin, you know, shouting, "What are you doing? You are not letting her out."
I come stomping down the hallway with her in front of me, and I walk right into the parlor, and I just, you know, said, "This is your mother. She's dead. Say goodbye." And I just let her go. I guess that's their imposed will again.
Yeah, I'd say so. You're imposing your will on Lord Pendrin, so go for it.
Yeah. 11! Oh,
nice. Very nice. I think 2 trauma is a bit too much for a young Lord Pendrin. So like, I think now that he sees her as she is in ghost form and she's not like this decrepit, pale, half-dead version of herself, he sort of begins to melt and, you know, there's this like tear rolling down his ruddy cheek. As he says, "Oh, mama," and the image of his mother, you know, has this ghostly smile and they have like this, they can't quite meet because she would, electrify him a little, but you know, there's this sort of, she reaches out her hand and he reaches out his and there's like the ET moment. And then she just slowly, slowly begins to fade. The only thing that you're left with, like, is this like ghostly echoing, hummed lullaby, right? And I think Lord Pendrin just breaks down right there on the carpet.
I hear the crackle. It said, I click on it, said, "I'll be there in a second." I sit down next to him on that couch and put my arm around him and said, "There, you know, you had to let her go. Just had to let her go. She couldn't stay. You were hurting her by keeping her here, you know, and give him a hug. I sniff a little bit, you know, lift my mask up and wipe my nose. Anyway, we have ghosts to take care of. And my lord, talk later, I guess. And put my mask on and I look at Tyrconnell. Tyrconnell, you'll probably have to take care of. And I point at the cell properly. And I go walk into the door and I go outside. I tell the guard, "Get out of the way. We got ghosts to deal with."
I think they're all like stunned because none of them are used to dealing with ghosts like this. Like, that's not commonplace thing. They in the cities, they have people who deal with them. They come, they take the bodies, they deal with the bodies and the spirits.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all kind of stunned. You're just like, "Oh, It's Tuesday. I got to do my job. So actually, let's go back to Booker and like have like a little back and forth as the rest of them are sort of rushing to car 8 to back you up. They're both like reaching for you with the attempt to like grab you and strangle you. I think just the nearness of it. Actually, fuck it. I'm just going to say, what do you do?
I think then he'll do what he's best at. Try to bowl into them and try to knock them out the open car door. He's going to send their bodies out there. He'll try to send their ghosts out there.
All right. Sounds like force.
Yeah, one of those. So he'll drive them back.
All right. You do, in fact. You wrangle them. You push them. You force them out of the train car. Though in the course of it, though, you take one harm.
Armor.
Yeah. Because it's not like super like crazy drowned spirit manifestation. It's like they are still very much human spirit wise. So they're just attempting to grapple you and strangle you and like do that. They are now outside of the car. They're sort of floating around, hovering around the rails, but they're out of the car and they're not threatening you like presently. Yeah.
Grab the door, slide it shut.
Oh, awesome. I'm inclined to say yes to that. Just like if you do it, there's no point in. Oh, you know what? Actually, roll finesse. Just let's see if how brainy these guys are. All right, so choose one.
Do it quickly. I don't know if that's gonna be useful.
You tell me.
Show them out there and boom, quickly.
Oh, it's almost in one fluid motion. Yeah. Like they go out, you slam the door and feel very satisfied with yourself, right? And then, the man's face emerges through the door, of course, right?
Yeah.
He's clearly making his way through, but he's sort of working out this like, oh, right, I'm a ghost. I can do this stuff. So it's not like a direct attack, but you know he's coming for you. Meanwhile, let's hop on over to, Claremont again. Like you're clanking off along the you can see like the electroplasmic like image of this floating woman outside of car 8.
Well, I slap down the goggles, burn another point of lightning oil.
Oh, how much
one charge? I got one charge left. So, and I'm going to do an insight roll and figure out, okay, what we need to do to put these SOBs down. 9. Okay. So that's insight. I get a 9. I hold 1. Yeah. I'm going to say, what should I be on the lookout for?
How do I answer this in an interesting way? I guess we are coming up on time. So I should say something to the tune of, you should be on the lookout for not getting backup. You see no sign of Scappa or Danfield like coming across the roofs or you know climbing the outside, nothing like that. You're on your own, right?
I flip up and say, Scappa, Danfield, where the hell are you? And I you
it's know just static.
Oh frack. Well, hook out, I'm gonna try to swoop down and at least grab her with my hook.
Sounds like fours.
7-1. I seize her.
Awesome. Okay, so you swing the lightning hook down, you catch her. She also sort of discovering her sort of spirit nature. She sort of hovers up toward you, sort of following your yank and comes into close contact with you. And you get a bit of a jolt. So so take one harm. What's your harm right now?
I only took 2 harm.
Previously.
Oh, what I was at 3 o'clock, now I'm at 6 o'clock.
So you got her, and she's fighting you right there. But you don't have a spirit bottle, and yeah, you're in a tough spot. Meanwhile, in the carriage, Booker, yeah, the spirit is discovering that it can go through doors. What do you do?
Well, as it's poking its head through, womp, put a shoulder into his head and just smash to knock him back out.
All right, do a force. He's so wonderfully simple, this Booker.
Yes, he is.
Booker does what Booker does best.
I inflict great harm and I suffer little harm.
All right, cool. Shoulder check, armor. Let's call it a vicious beating. Why not? So 3, which is deadly weapons, lightning hook surge, major manifestation attack from ghost. I see you give him a good like smack, and there's this ectoplasmic residue left on the inside of the door, but he vanishes right out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, on top, Mr. What's your face? or Miss, or Miss. Madam Claremont.
Madam. Yes, Madam. So I'm hanging on to her, and I go, okay, they were down that way. I just start clumping down that way with Carrie, you know, with her at the other end of the hook, yelling over the radio, Danfield, need a bottle!
Cool. So you see, now you don't. Screw it. It's too late for that. So you get this sort of staticky response, something like, Issy, ow, two, forward, cab.
I start stomping. I start, you know, going as fast as I can in my magnetic boots. And
clank, 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 clank. Okay.
Yeah. So, I guess it's finessing it and trying to get there as quick as I can. I said, what, finesse or?
Sure, absolutely. If you wanna keep a hold of this ghost.
Yeah, I do. 13. Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, I can do it quickly. I avoid trouble, and I'm basically.
I'm curious. What is the impressive or stylish or greater effect that you achieve?
I would say stylishly, you know, as every time she tries to squirm out of the field, I give a twist, I pirouette around the air. I'm basically just playing her like a puppet, keeping her inside the hook's field, and hoping the charge lasts long enough for me to get down to where those guys are having troubles from the sounds of it.
So, like realizing she's not getting anywhere, she begins to plead with you instead. She says, please, madam, you don't know what you're doing. I have to reach Severos.
You'll get there, just not in this form.
You're dooming a family to despair and sorrow. Think about what you're doing, madam.
I stop, and I look at her. I just had a little boy say goodbye to his dead mother. Shut up! And I start running.
She just doesn't let up. She just keeps going, like, with all these, like, platitudes about, you know, think, do the right thing.
At some point, I smack her into the top of a cab and said, shut
sure,
up.
Sure, all the longer way. That's fine. You know what? Since it's kind of almost time, I don't want to get all, like, Army of Darkness here, where we have, like, Booker open the door, look out, there's nobody there, he closes it, and then it's behind him, and then, you know, we get this, like, silly... peekaboo action and all that stuff. We're going to say, like, you manage to, you know, wrestle the ghosts, fix the ghosts. You manage to put them in spirit bottles. You make it into the station in Severin, on the other side of the inner sea, right? You get your, I haven't been counting, but you get, you know, your chits, your lead chits, your stamped lead slugs that you can redeem for food and housing and sundries and stuff, and you get an extra bit of some stash money, right? Some loot from Lord Penderin, along with a cloth knit like bundle full of biscuits.
I'll give my share to Booker. He needs them.
Just like when everything's done, you got into the station and you're like, you can take your gear off, you can go and like blow off some steam, forget about all the horrors and things you've seen. That's sort of when Haig sort of staggers out of the line bowl cab and like, nothing important happened, right?
Just the usual.
Just the usual.
I think Booker puts put a hand on me to keep me from using my hook on him.
See you at the pub, guys. Lady. Yeah. He just staggers off. And you're left in Severin
at the pub.
I'm sure Severos has a different, like slightly different architectural style, but we're not gonna get into that. Cool. You made it.
Yeah,
what did you think? Did you think it didn't what worked and what didn't work?
The understanding of fighting ghosts, I still don't know what works and what's supposed to how that
gotcha.
To work.
I think the thing to keep in mind is Ghostbusters, right? We established the lightning hooks were kind of like these catch poles, but I think they're meant to be sort of the don't cross the streams sort of weird electro things that you sort of catch the ghost in and you bring them down to the spirit bottle, kind of Ghostbusters-esque. But I think we did it fun. Right? Like, punching ghosts is also fun, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're apprentices. You don't have to do it correctly, right? And your handler is a moron, so that's fine. I wouldn't worry about, you know, playing it wrong. But I totally see that it's not super obvious. Like, you have to imagine a bit when you read like heavy lightning hook, what does that mean? Lightning web thrower. What's the difference between a heavy lightning hook and a lightning web thrower?
And okay, if you use the hook, then okay, you got it. Then you have to fight to keep it till you can get in the bottle, or is it contained in the hook until, you know, what does that mean?
I think that depends a little on how you roll. And that may be like my side of things, me being like unclear for when something happens. It's that, like, if you succeed with a move, I'm not really supposed to touch your success, right? But if you miss when you're doing things, that's when you like were knocked on your feet or something like that, or took harm. That's kind of a part of the system that is the need apocalypse world experience part that you like.
Interesting. I'm actually looking at the map. I actually understand what the map's for, because it actually have check boxes for it on the sheet.
It doesn't seem like a game that has enough to it to where you'd want to go everywhere. I mean, Ghosts on a Train, okay, that's good for a one shot or two.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a pretty pinpoint like thing that you do. Although, mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't touched rumors, leads, freelance patrons, like city events. I would imagine you would get a lot more of like the Lord Pendron type stuff when you freelance. Your point feeds into John's point that this is like a home campaign, and a lot of stuff are things that I'm sure like Harper and company, you know, would know since mm-hmm. they played in this world.
So you say it's based on which game again?
This is my guess. I'm not entirely in the know. I think maybe John and company played either like Redbox D&D or World of Dungeons. And they got to a point where they had a magical like cataclysm. And then they were like, let's play 1,000 years from then, like in the future. And now everything is like messy, and there's this new empire, and instead of there being magic, there are these like Dishonored type electric, you know, new electric tech that people use instead.
Sort of steampunkish.
Sure. Which is the same world that Harper uses in the new Blades in the Dark, which is set in Duskwall. If you look at the map, that's the northernmost dot on Akaros. But then you're playing different things, right? Then you're playing like criminals. So.
Yeah, this is something he decided to share. I mean, he comes out in a couple of forum posts when he actually posted it. He said you may want to try it, but you may not get much out of it because it really is a campaign setting. It's the bare bones.
Yeah. From my side of things, okay, I have a massive bias. My grandfather on my mother's side was he worked on the railway. So, like, I grew up with, like, pictures of trains everywhere. So I'm sure I have a different, slightly different, reaction than a lot of people. So the train thing is, like, really cool to me. And the just generally the whole, like, we can contrast, like Industrial Revolution class stuff and then mix in fun, like, spirit, creepy spirit elements. That I really like that personally. And it was fun to, like, first have you do the whole crazy, like, you know, murder hobo. Oh, tons of ghosts appear. What do you do? And then contrast that with, here's a different kind of spirit or undead. What do you do with that? Yeah. So that's, you know, I thought it was fun. But I could totally see if you would be like, you know what? This was fun. Not interested in doing, like campaign of it.
It's fine for, like, one shots, like you said. It'd be, you know, if you have their downtime, I wouldn't mind doing it again. But
because I just generally, and we wouldn't have to use this system necessarily, but I think it could be cool to take these characters and see, like, what do they do in their downtime, right? What does, you know, what do Booker do? What does Booker do when like he's not working? Like, where does he go? What are his friends like? Does he have friends? Right.
Yeah.
I think that could be interesting. We don't have to do it like as a railway thing, if at all we get back to this. Right.
I don't know why she's doing it, but she's doing it for a reason. But I guess I really don't know her motivation yet.
If we're going with like emergent stuff that happened, I'd say that maybe she's in it to do the right thing, because that seems to be how you played her.
Yeah, right? I guess so. Yeah.
Like, look, this woman is dead. You know, you have to face that, and we have to deal with this before it becomes a problem. So maybe she has noble intentions. Maybe. Yeah. That's a surface reading, right?
Yep, that works for me.
Anyway, cool. I liked your characters. I thought they were fun. I hope you had fun with my silly NPCs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, the soft music as Lord Pendle, where the hell his name was, Edwin. As Edwin said goodbye to his mother.
I could have done that more in detail, but I always find that, you know, if you do it too much, it becomes this lachrymose, like, forced thing. Yeah. So I tend to fast forward. It's time to end. So thank you for playing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Max Silver here, and I just want to remind you all that you can find our adventures at the following places. My buddy Doc might know what they are, but I sure as heck don't. Anyway, find us at our forums at thesundayskypers.freeforums.org, or at our Facebook page, whatever heck a Facebook page is, or at our Google Plus page. Again, what the hell is a Google Plus page? I don't know. Or you can mail us at Sunday Skypers, some little A thing with a circle around it. What the heck is that thing? I don't know. Zoho.com. That's a strange mailing address. Hey, Doc, can you tell me what the heck that little funny A sign is?